Today on the program, Snipesgiving goes to D.C. as we cover Murder at 1600. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Everyone, happy Snipesgiving as this blessed month rolls on. This week on the program, Murder at 1600 from 1997, directed by Dwight Little. This is a Wesley Snipes political thriller.
This is a suspenseful film.
Yeah. It's a what?
Suspenseful film.
Suspenseful?
It's a pensive film?
Yes. Yes.
This is Wesley Snipes. He's playing a Washington, D.C. police homicide detective. And is he partnered with Dennis Miller, or are they just friends on the force?
I know they're partners, I think.
Yeah, but they don't...
They're not together
They don't
often.
Investigate crimes together?
Yeah, so I don't think so.
I feel like some test screening said less Dennis Miller, and they like cut him out.
I think that was all test screenings.
Yeah, there wasn't any Diane Lane in the first cut, actually.
They brought her on.
It was all Dennis Miller.
They had to reshoot the whole movie.
Here's a question. Why can't they fuck in this movie?
Dennis Miller and Wesley Snipes?
Well, yes. No, more Wesley Snipes and Diane Lane. Like, it's right there. I just feel like if it was Harrison Ford Lane.
You know, I'll tell you, it's the production code.
Production code?
the Hollywood production code,
that's right.
Dude.
The Hayes Code. Also, I think it's institutional racism.
Yeah.
Short answer: institutional racism. Oh,
but also, I think they're trying to be a little classier than Fair Game.
Okay.
Where, like, you're not just fucking in a train car while people are shooting at you.
Actually, that's a good call. Like, at what point in this movie could they be fucking? I feel like you'd have to write in a special set of downtime.
I'm not even asking for it, but I mean, like, he's dropping her off at her motel quite a few times. That happens, I feel like, once or twice.
And that's actually a perfect scenario in where you could be fucking a virtual stranger, because you're hiding out, right? Yep. You can't go home.
Right.
So you're going to fuck in this motel where you're in hiding.
Yeah. After the Eggman gets shot through the chest, like, halfway through this, like, you could get into a motel, that would be working.
Or when she drops him off at his place earlier in the movie, when you first reveal his insane apartment with that, like, crazy full-scale model of DC, you could fuck on top of that, and it's like King Kong fucking Godzilla. Like,
that would be so cool.
I would see.
Okay, I want to see King Kong and Godzilla fuck now. How would that work? Who would like lead the dance? I guess is what I'm asking.
I'm thinking King Kong's definitely leading.
Yeah. I think it's just straight up hours worth of 69ing.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Like, they talk about it for a while. They can't make a decision as to who's doing what.
Yeah.
It's just hours of 69ing.
This is how the world ends, with two monsters slobbering on their genitals.
Dude, man, slobbering that Kong.
It's a snake eating itself, but it's a gorilla filleting a fucking, I don't know, a lizard person.
Well, I don't know that there's much person there.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a guy in a suit.
Yeah. Okay, so there are two guys in suits fucking each other.
Okay,
so Andy Serkis is making all the cum sounds.
So this movie starts off kind of like a Lethal Weapon situation here. There's a guy who's going to commit suicide publicly, and so Wesley Snipes has to come in to save the day. Seemingly only because this dude is holding up traffic.
Yeah. I mean, that's a Dennis Miller quip. I think, holding up traffic, baby.
Fucking up traffic, yeah. Babe.
Oh, God, I got to get downtown. We got a lunch date, babe. They ain't going to hold that table.
Human life is nothing, man.
That's what he says now. Man, Dennis Miller fucking sucks, and he fucking sucks in this movie hard.
So Wesley Snipes also quips that this is the third bureaucrat this month that's tried to kill themselves in the middle of the city.
Yeah, dude, it's a fucking hot time in the old town tonight.
So shit. News cycle must be worse than today.
Yeah, I guess the midterm elections didn't go so well, and...
It's like, well, I could just announce I'm not going to run for re-election or publicly kill myself.
And we have to mention it's Charles Rocket in this scene,
Jesus,
who actually
publicly killed himself.
No, he did not. Well,
it was outside.
Was it outside?
I think so.
He cut his throat.
Did he? I thought he shot himself.
No, he cut his own throat.
Really? It's horrific.
Yeah. Oh, it's Charles Rocket. He was a Saturday Night Live guy. He got fired for saying fuck on the air. One of those tragedies.
He's good in Dumb and Dumber.
He's really funny.
He is. I mean, he wasn't funny.
It's Pat.
Yes.
He's the bad guy. I think so, right?
He's the shining part of It's Pat.
Yeah. Yes. I would say that.
I feel like, and rightfully so, if somebody tried to make an It's Pat sketch today, it would end with Pat being like, mind your fucking business. Like, yes. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's like, what's her deal? Like, you know what, dude? Mind your fucking business.
It's worse than what's her deal. It's what is, you know what I mean?
Is,
it's like, the whole premise is finding out the gender,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's like, none of your fucking business. Yeah.
I always hated those sketches because it was one of those, like, it's no one's business and this isn't that funny.
Yeah.
And boy, they just made that whole thing a movie.
They sure did.
Right. And then they introduced Dave Foley, who was playing another...
Chris, which I think was a holdover from the sketches.
Oh, really?
She was... Julia Sweeney, I say. She... I don't know the gender of Pat.
Yeah, but, please do not. Yeah.
I'm not going to assume. But Julia Sweeney would always be like, oh, my partner, Chris. And like it would be like another androgynous person.
Right. So do you think that all the Pat heads were like, oh, my God, Chris finally made it into the movie?
Yes! The three Pat heads out there.
Maybe Dennis Miller was a Pat head. Like, who even knows?
That I don't know. Yeah, I'm not going to be in that sketch, man.
Yeah, you know what? Leave me out, babe. I'm just going to read the news.
I'm fine with it. Lauren, you can write me out.
What was the best Dennis Miller sketch? Like, what? Obviously, he did Weekend Update, but like, I'm trying to think of like a good sketch performance. I think he's good in the It's a Wonderful Life routine. He plays the brother in that. And they both beat the shit out of Mr. Potter. Anybody else?
I vaguely recall. No. I don't know.
Weekend Update's kind of it, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? Just put a fucking black and white photograph from the news next to him and let him make a fake quote from it. Mm-hmm. That's all I need.
Well, yeah, he's a sarcastic fuckhead. And like, that's all he's good for in those things.
That's fair.
So this whole thing is Wesley Snipes like gets out of the car and he's going to like talk to this dude and whatnot.
Was he cut from a movie about Bugsy Siegel? What is this haircut?
A Wesley Snipes?
Yeah,
because he's got like the shaved part.
Yeah, exactly. It's like he walked off Boardwalk Empire.
He's got like the cigar constantly in his mouth, unlit. It's not even like a cigar. Right, it's like
a little
tiny thing.
And his name is Harlan Regis.
Yeah.
It does sound like a Boardwalk Empire. There's a lot of weird names in this movie, by the way.
The names are nuts.
Well, this was...
There's a guy named Burton Cash.
Yeah.
Not to mention Spikings. His last name is Spikings.
Diane Lane is the best one.
Her name is Chance?
Yes. Yeah. Nina Chance or... Something like that.
Yes. It's bizarre. This whole movie, it's
very bizarre. One of the bizarre things was, and this is always for the better, Wesley Snipes was brought in to replace somebody.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. Oh, man. Now I
didn't get to hit the Tribune this week.
Ah, fuck. It's like...
John Goodman.
No. I think it's Bruce Willis, actually.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
It's something like that.
Better movie.
Yeah, it's been made better.
I mean, it's a better movie now.
Yeah,
yes.
What was released was better.
But he winds up punching Charles Rocket in the face.
Right. It's just Lethal Weapon. And he's ready. Like, the gun is in his mouth. It's so incredibly awkward. And then he punches him in the face. And then Dennis Miller's like, oh, geez, babe. Didn't have to get all violent. It's like, shouldn't you be happy? Traffic's cleared up now. Get back in the car.
But apparently the safety was on. And he's a crafty
world's
detective.
World's greatest detective.
I think he might be.
He's not bad, man.
So Dennis Miller's the Watson here.
And then we cut to...
Oh, sorry. Confirming from the Tribune. It's the first thing. Wesley Snipes replaced Bruce Willis in the lead role of Detective Harlan Regis after Willis withdrew from the movie.
Because he fucking hates Ronnie Cox.
No, really?
No.
I will not be in the same room with that man. Thank you very much.
Ronnie Cox made fun of my fucking ace harmonica playing one time.
He once said that Beverly Hills Cop was better than Die Hard. Fuck that man. Fuck him hard.
So we cut to the White House and what I call erotic nonsense.
Oh my God, this is about as nonsensical eroticism you can get.
Like, do we need that much?
She's getting fucked on the president's desk.
Well, the reveal is amazing.
Yeah,
because the George Washington portrait and the Thomas Jefferson portrait are watching them fuck.
Dude, you would fuck if the Founding Fathers were watching,
and
too.
I will say, like, in those portraits of those Founding Fathers, you don't see where their hands are. I don't know what those paintings are doing.
It's not Harry Potter. John Cleese isn't just fucking masturbating in a painting.
I always was a bit unsettled by the fucking living paintings in Harry Potter. You know what? Leave me the fuck alone.
And there's not enough accurate reaction to like seeing a living painting in those movies. They're kind of like, oh, what's that? Oh, that's weird. I'd be like, excuse me, that's a fucking living painting right there. Well, that, and it opens up so many questions. Can I go in there? Can they come out? What the fuck are we talking about?
You have to burn it immediately.
Yes.
Right? It's an abomination.
And set the soul free. My God.
Right, yeah. Put them to rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nobody seems to care that there's just ghosts trapped in these paintings.
I don't know. I think they go to like that limbo hell in Beetlejuice.
Oh, right.
When if you do that, I think that's some real shit, man.
That's fine. I'll scatter the ashes in a museum.
You know what's coming, though. You don't even need that reveal because it's like the Founding Fathers. It's shadowy, like dark at night. And the saxophone is fucking going hardcore.
Also, the movie's called Murder at 16.
So we then cut to like this like montage of cleaning up the White House. And there's that guy, my favorite guy in the movie, who becomes a character later.
Swimming on the floor.
Oh, just crab walking, man.
Oh, yeah. It's the weird like... Is that really a more efficient way to polish a floor?
I don't know.
Get a fucking floor buffer. This is the White House.
That must be destroying his knees.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I mean, dude. He's not going to be able to walk in like 10 years.
But his core must be outrageous.
Yes. Like, oh, my God.
You can shred cheese off of it.
Yeah, so it's this weird, like, this is how the White House closes down for the night. Mm-hmm. And it's like everybody cleaning, taking out the trash, crab walking down a marble hallway.
to be clear, he's got like chamois towels on his hands and knees. And he's like doing like a weird like crab.
It's almost like dog paddling.
Yeah, yeah. Like he's swimming on the fucking floor.
It's kind of cool to watch. Mm-hmm. And then this poor cleaning woman stumbles upon this woman murdered in a stall in the bathroom.
And the Secret Service goes crazy, obviously.
Yeah.
They go crazy.
Well, they've got machine guns.
They're insane.
They don't have machine guns any other time. So now they're going to take them out.
Diane Lane
finds the dog.
What's that?
Diane Lane finds the dog that becomes very important later.
Oh, that's right. Well, you know.
And we're introduced to her as one of the Secret Service agents.
So she works for the Secret Service. And then we cut to Wesley Snipes getting a phone call in his car, and it's kind of the best line of the movie.
No, he's at a bar with Dennis Miller.
Oh, he's at a bar? Okay.
He's like typing up his report. Oh, like Dennis Miller is like getting wasted.
Which is like, how can you expect to get work done at a bar, first of all?
This really confused me, because like the typewriter at the bar thing tells me you're a reporter.
Uh-huh. No, it tells me you're a novelist.
Or an alcoholic.
He's playing Charles Bukowski.
Yeah, seriously.
Or maybe he's the guy from Piano Man. He's a Bill is a real estate novelist, which I've never understood.
Or like Wesley Snipes in Factotum. I could get into that.
Yes.
Another drink for all my friends.
Except for Dennis Miller. Everybody else gets a drink.
Faye Dunaway, come over here.
And we get the other, like, the sort of the B plot becomes more important, which is the hostage crisis in North Korea.
Which, like, leave this out. I mean, you need it for the end, I guess, but my God.
No, you don't.
Well, this was the dartboard times of peacetime from 96 to 2000. I was like, who's going to give us trouble in this movie? Is it the Albanians? Is it the Chinese? Is it the North Koreans?
Oh, North Korea. That'll be fun.
Yeah, that'll never happen.
I mean, they hate us anyway, so what the fuck? Let's do it.
So is it at the bar then where he receives the phone call? And it's just like, you know, oh, Wesley Snipes here. 1600 what? Come on.
Lorimer Street. 1600 Lorimer Street.
Oh, for a second, I thought you said Pennsylvania Avenue. Well, we'll be right down there.
Just come on, man.
Just giving the address.
Yes.
Oh, the White House. Where is that again? Uh-huh. 1600 what? Got it. I'll be right there.
No, it's not actually the White House. I mean, it's the same thing, but it's actually across the street.
We just said the White House because it's closer. Yes. It's right there.
We'll signal to you when you get there.
Come on.
And like 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, apartment B.
Ring the buzzer. Elevators to the left.
Yes, exactly.
So there's
wait outside for you. You know what? It's just easier if I wait outside.
I mean, it's cold outside. I'll bring you into the lobby at least.
So he gets there, and there's all these people already doing the investigating and whatnot. And already, I mean, I don't know. This seems a little bit improbable that you're calling like a homicide detective.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the idea later is discussed. It's like, yeah, that it's just for the optic so that the Washington, D.C. PD is in.
Right. But
yeah.
They would never, you would, this body would go into the incinerator. You'd yes. never hear about this. It would only be federal, right? It would be like FBI yes. or they're military police.
It would be a total cover up.
Yeah.
It's a Walter White barrel. Get it in here yep. and fucking get rid
they,
of it.
They like, have the basements full of those.
I mean, yeah, somebody's been killed at the White House before, oh, right?
Thousands.
Thousands.
Yes.
Scores of people dead at the White House.
Well, bar another one for the grave.
I got a couple leftovers from the CIA.
Uh-oh, mommy, he's still twitching.
Yeah, I mean, I
oh think- shit, it's Vince Foster back from the grave.
Oh no, motherfuck, he's trying to get revenge.
Hey, Hillary, it's zombie Vince Foster. Get the machetes.
Oh my god, better movie, A Seance at 1600. Yes. And they're trying to yes. get these demons
oh,
out.
Oh, dude, amazing. That's got to be like the fucking Grand Central Station of ghost activity.
Sequel setup. They accidentally send the ghost of Lincoln to hell.
Oh,
and
no.
now fucking we got to get Lincoln out of hell.
Nice. Oh. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that's actually, though, how about this? Then there's like a face-off in hell. Abe Lincoln v. Hitler.
Oh, I would love that movie.
That would be pretty cool.
I will say, because of these freaking ridiculous models Wesley Snipes has in his apartment, uh-huh. there is a Beetlejuice connection here a little yeah, bit.
A little bit.
That is so true. That is Abe, so true.
There's like Abe Lincoln in a fucking mausoleum. Hey, babe!
Here's Agnet. On a boy.
I can't believe that his hobby in this is modeling.
We can, yeah. So
let's get into it.
Isn't it of the Civil War?
Yeah,
it's multiple Civil War battles because yeah. he's like on that table over there. It's the Battle of whatever the fuck, and over here it's just this other scene of DC.
Basically, him and Diane Lane get partnered up. She's going to represent the Secret Service. He's going to represent the DCPD, and they go to his apartment while he gets changed, and it's tables upon tables upon tables of reenactments.
And
it puts the guy from Ronin to shame, man.
I'm curious because I don't really remember. Does he have much family in this movie?
He says it's his dad, but that's it. That's the only thing you hear about a dad.
Right. Because this apartment, like, you wouldn't be able to live here.
Well, he smells of divorce, but they never bring it up. Only a divorced man would get this much into models.
Well,
I'm
he's
sorry.
Also awkwardly, like, responsible for saving this apartment building.
Oh, right.
Oh, well, that's the whole reason of that stupid cold open to me, is to have him be like, Interstate Commerce Commission, they're trying to fucking, they're going to shut down my
oh,
whole
right. Charles Rocket plays a guy who just got fired from the Interstate Commerce Commission, and Wesley Snipes bonds with him over his mutual hatred of the Interstate Commerce Commission.
Yeah, because I really care.
They are going to like evict everyone in this apartment building and bulldoze it to make a parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
So this movie could end with a talent show to save the old building.
Yeah. Happening right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
I could do stand-up, babe. We'll get it.
I actually, Wesley Snipes doing Total Eclipse of the Heart, that would do something for me.
But, I mean, the thing of it is Diane Lane's like, wow, this is crazy. And he's like, yeah, look at all that. It just keeps me sane and blah, blah, blah. The murder rate being what it is. This is kind of cheaper than therapy. By the way, it's definitely not cheaper than therapy. This apartment is scores big.
It's huge. I think he's got the whole floor. He's got all these little like knickknacks and doodads and things that you need to have these really intricate models built.
Uh-huh.
Versus like, you know, whatever, man. It's 1997. You probably got like pretty decent health insurance.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
like, what, a $30 copay for a shrink?
This is probably why they're trying to kick him out, because he's probably like rent controlled and he's paying like $2 a month.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that could be.
For a humongous apartment. I mean, if the models weren't there, this would be a gorgeous place.
It looked like a fucking scene from The Leopard. So he goes to this bathroom in the White House and everything, and there's all these people around. And who is it that has this line? Because it happens a couple times in this movie. I think it's some investigator right here, though, not really a main character, who's like, yeah, I don't know, 24, 25 years old, tops. She's a baby.
That's a weird one. That's
they keep
a real...
calling her a bit like
the child, a baby.
The president himself.
Yes.
But yeah, so then like he's investigating. It's this weird thing where there's too many people in this stall, mm-hmm. and then Alan Alda pops his head in.
Alan Alda in this movie. I love Alan Alda.
Oh, so do I, dude.
But like, and like, spoiler alert, he's the guy who killed.
Yeah.
Like, and yep. this is Roger
yeah, but
Ebert.
To be fair, you got Harris Yulin, who might be the guy.
Yes.
No. Roger Ebert made a really good point once. I forget what review it was. But
I forget
what
the point was, but
he said, like, look for the actor who's big enough that he could be in his own movie, but is there just to be there.
Yeah.
That's your killer.
Yeah. Oh, it's like a Law and Order, man. You can guess the person responsible by the guest star status most of the time. And yeah, I guess that's Alan Alda. And I don't know. I was kind of fooled by the Harris Yulin red herring also, because it's fucking Harris Yulin, yeah. man. In my mind, Harris Yulin is a big deal.
Harris Yulin has like
I love
two
Harris
to
Yulin.
Three scenes, whereas Alan Alda has like got like six or seven.
Well, you know
here.
It's him when later in the movie, for no reason, he's jogging with Wesley Snipes. Well, like clearly. And Harris Yulin's like, you don't want me to go on the jog? Well, all right.
I love to jog. Be quiet.
I'm more of a weights man. Would you like to toss me a barbell?
It's always weird when, like, he did it on The West Wing, too, when he plays, like, Alan Alda plays this, like, hawkish Republican, and it's like, or just a hawkish guy in general. It's like, yeah, that's we got to send our boys in. It's like, that's not true.
Right. Right, because now the villain of the movie, Alan Alda, really, and Harris Yulin to an extent, they represent the deep state.
Yes, yeah.
And they want to get this president into war with North Korea.
Yes, mm-hmm. big time. They're fucking foaming at the mouth, dude.
And they're willing to set up his family for murder over it.
Right.
And they're even willing to go to war with China, too. They're like, we should just go to war with China now and get it done with. And I'm like, wait, what?
Listen, Mr. President, it's me, Harris Yulin. Be quiet. Everybody knows war with China is inevitable, so let's just do it. Do it right now. Mr. President, have you ever heard of Band-Aid? You just gotta rip it off.
But, like, it's what? Alan Alda. Alan Alda should be outside the White House with a bullhorn. Like, we gotta send our boys home.
Right, yeah, exactly. But here he's the national security advisor.
Michael Flynn.
Right. Pretty much.
But I didn't have any improper connections with the Russians at all.
It was Turkey.
Oh, yeah. I was getting involved in that weird kidnapping plot.
And my,
who son, saw that coming?
My son says that they got child sex rings over there. And he's been sharing a lot of interesting things with me.
So this is also where we meet Spikings. Is that this dude's name?
Spikings. The dude who used to be on Murder One, if you're 100 years old and remember that show. That's all I remember this guy from. He's like a heavy.
I was telling Andrew last night, he has a great X-Files episode mm-hmm. where he's mm-hmm. like a voodoo priest secretly.
Oh, yeah.
I never saw that one. He's a mid-90s heavy, like a white, bald dude. Like, he's just one of the first bald white actors.
You know what he looks like, honestly? He looks like...
sharp egg. Like an egg. Like you Eggman, touch this egg, it'll cut you.
I was going to say it'd be like if
what does that mean?
I don't know. Yeah, he looks like an egg with like...
Because he's bald, just because he's bald?
But, yeah, but it's like he's got like elf ears or something.
Yeah, I guess I
no,
see
I think
it,
to me it's like if Don Rickles fucked Porky Pig...
Yes.
Like, that's what this dude looks like.
I feel like this guy probably was, like, in line with Larry Drake for a lot of roles.
Mm.
Like, he probably could have been the villain in Darkman.
Yeah, but Larry Drake smoked him.
He's also funnier, so.
Yes.
Why does it that Wesley Snipes says to Diane Lane, because I randomly was writing, like, terrible dialogue down. He says, looks like I'm playing Boo Boo the Fool.
Oh, I don't know that one.
The what?
And she gets
is that
all
a sex game. He has
she gets called? All offended about it or something, and then he says, "It's the part where he's like, you resent the implication."
Oh no, because he says you resent the implication, and she says, "Well, I resent the implication because she's like, what do you call this? She's just a female Secret Service agent," and
right.
he's like, "Oh, I know why they're showing you to me. Your eye candy." She's like, "Well, I resent the implication." She's like, does anyone around here speak English?
I'm oh,
like,
that's right.
That's English,
yeah,
dude. Like,
and also
on.
Like this character isn't an idiot. Don't make him say things that make him sound like a fucking idiot.
Well, he does sound like a fucking idiot a lot.
Always.
Because he goes to a bar at one point at this function where he meets the Speaker of the House, and he asks for a fruit juice. Pick one. Right? Like, yes. Figure it out.
You want apple juice? You want orange juice?
And if they don't have it, move on to the next one. But just saying fruit juice, well, what are you saying?
I just took it as fruit punch.
Oh, like a Hawaiian punch.
Which no one has.
Yeah, that's
true.
No one's just going to have fucking
fruit punch. It is 97. They might have Hawaiian punch.
At a government function? I don't think so. I think it's beer and wine.
You just crack it up. You got that, like, the old fashioned can opener. You're cracking open Hawaiian seas. Yeah.
So they have, like, this whole thing where they search this woman's bank records and whatnot, and they believe that she was planning to flee the country.
Yes.
And she's got a one way ticket to St. Croix, is the idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a sloppy fucking cover up by
if there ever was one.
Well, it doesn't make any sense because she was just like some rando White House secretary. So what the fuck was
she? She was a baby.
She was just a baby. It's very important to note she was just a little baby that got murdered in a bathroom.
They burnt all the binkies. And,
oh, you're playing Boo Boo the Fool. But I don't understand. What is it that they think she stole? Or, like, what is the motive?
She stole the files at Comet Ping Pong.
No, I think she was
She was a baby down in the basement.
Cannibalistic baby.
The secret plans for the basement that doesn't exist.
Yeah, if you guys need me, I'll be over at Comet Ping Pong. I'm going to be molesting children, and I'm going to cut my own nipples open and wear a voodoo priestess headdress. And Hillary are going to do that.
They also have a killer chorizo pie there. It's delicious.
Man, that sounds pretty good. A chorizo pizza? I want to go to Comet Ping Pong.
I bet you do.
Did they have to close?
I think they're still open.
That's good. That poor businessman.
I know. Yeah. No, but I don't know.
Well, no, I was trying to remember what they're saying her motive is aside from...
Oh, no, her motive is that she slept with... You find out later she's sleeping with somebody in the White House. She's going to like do a tell-all book.
Oh,
and
right.
Then move to the Virgin Islands or something.
Because she had an appointment. They find her appointment book at one point or something. And she had a meeting with a salacious
publisher. That's later, but they go to her apartment and the fucking CIA or whoever did this just took out every picture in her picture book. Like, oh, nobody will expect anything. Who cares?
I mean, if you walk into a suspect's apartment and there's literally nothing there, I mean, what do you got to go on?
And you know what? By the way, CIA, if you're going to take out every photo from the photo album, just take the fucking photo album, dude. Like, cut out the middleman. Don't leave an empty photo album there.
No, that's what they're expecting.
All right. Gently remove. Oh, there's tape on the back of this. Better just. Oh, I don't want to tear it now. We're going to give these back to this dead woman's family after this blows over.
We definitely can't just burn this.
Yes.
They set the whole house on fire.
Yes. Burn everything.
That's the thing I never understand. Because later in the movie, there's a lot of like downtime.
A movie that's an hour and 46 minutes, by the way. You got to pep it up with something.
Later in the movie, like Diane Lane is like trying to get a tape that an incriminating tape, I think it's an audio cassette or her answering machine or some bullshit.
Right.
And like they filed it away. Don't file it. Throw it away. I never understand that.
She goes into like a big like Raiders of the Lost Ark storage closet and there's a box that's like murdered White House secretary. And yeah, it's her answering machine tape is there and this date book. But I think the idea, though, is that's all left there because it's all phony shit.
Oh, I
see.
Alan
Alda set up.
And in Sharpie, it says, evidence against the government. Do not burn.
It's right next to the Oswald shit, man.
There's a great, somewhere around here, there's a great clip of like, and I feel like it's another bad red herring situation because it comes on the heels of someone like basically like doing a, well, who could it possibly have been? And it cuts to a TV and it's like, I don't know if it's a commercial or an ad or like a news story rather of Ronnie Cox just playing baseball with a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
Did you catch this little thing?
It's a story. It's a human interest story. Like he threw out the first pitch at the DC.
Right, but
Little
it's
League.
Like, who could it possibly be? Cut to the president on television.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's kind of funny Ronnie Cox is the president this week because I was thinking about this while watching this because Ronnie Cox also played the president in Captain America.
Oh, fuck, wow, that's right.
I was about to say Ronnie Cox, president, better country.
Well, yeah,
totally.
That, we live in a world now.
By the way, Captain America, that old ass.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah, the 1990s.
Yeah, with J.D. Salinger's famous for his son playing Captain America. That's why J.D. Salinger's famous is his son portrayed Captain America in the 1990 Captain America.
Yes. Yeah, Matt Salinger.
That's right.
Yeah, it was, Matt Salinger's dad there. That
Go back.
Oh, my God, did you hear that Matt Salinger's dad died? The thing is, so you got Ronnie Cox, and you think about all of the old white actors. That was always the stand-in for the president.
Right.
But now, because we had Obama, and then now we have a literal clown as the president. It's just like, who is like the like easy peas, like, that's the president now. Like, if you're casting a movie, if you watched a movie and Guy Fieri was the president of the United States.
Wow, nice trill on that fucking name.
You'd be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. You'd be like, yeah, sure, okay. That's
oh, yeah, I'd buy that.
You'd be like, yeah, well, yeah. This is the world we live in right now.
Look at those fucking bleach tips. Yeah, he's the president. Why not?
Oh, Dane Cook, the president. Got it. Uh-huh.
Yeah, there isn't that, like, you can't really have that elite, like, you know, the Morgan Freemans.
Sure.
I even appreciate a good Aaron Eckhart, man.
Absolutely.
Think those movies are fucking terrible, but he makes a good president.
But now, yeah, it's anybody. Like, literally anyone could be president.
Well,
Paul Rubens.
I could be president, Mark.
Oh, my God. President Gallagher in the next Sharknado movie.
Oh, we're going to get some legislation passed, goddammit. First of all, saving the watermelons. It's a very important initiative I'm going to spearhead.
We've got to smash North Korea.
Oh, man.
God, he's wartime Gallagher?
Fuck yeah. It's bad enough that he's president, but he's going to be a wartime president? Oh my God. Mm-hmm.
Well, all right, here's my next military strategy. Someone get a bunch of unopened bags of chips. Put them on this table. They're going to go blammo. Give me a banana cream pie. I want to represent the Muslim state.
He takes off his newsboy cap, puts on a military cap.
Now I'm Patton.
It's just Gallagher in front of a huge American flag.
I'm just imagining the State of the Union, and it's like, it's, you know, the speaker and the vice president behind Gallagher, but everyone in the front row of the audience has plastic coats on. Because President Gallagher is about to give a speech.
Oh, you don't need any Supreme Court justices. You're already wearing a big black trash bag.
Mr. President, we have gone through the whole thesaurus, and we have used every synonym for smash. we're really running out here, guys.
Oh, it's like Rob Lowe and Josh Molina pining over the Gallagher State of the Union.
And he gets pissed off and tells him to go back to the drawing board about it.
This is all wrong. You don't smash in the middle of a speech. You smash at the end. Stupid son of a bitch.
Well, I was going to say, there is that petition. They want Kevin James to replace Kevin Spacey.
Right.
And and that would make complete sense to me.
Again, yeah, this is the world we live in.
We did an episode on Pixels 100 years ago, and we said it would be, like, impossible for him to be president. And, my God, I wish we had that president now.
President Hot Dog, man.
President Chris Christie.
So some point around here, Wesley Snipes is like hanging in this huge apartment alone at night, and he thinks he hears someone creeping into his house. And thus we get like kind of the only really big action scene-ish in
just
the movie. It picks up a little bit, but this scene is really like a, hey, you've fallen asleep. Well, wake up just for a second. No. Dennis Miller isn't here. Don't worry about it. Someone is going to break into Wesley Snipes' apartment right now. And go.
Yeah, I'm banned to the fucking DVD cutscenes, babe.
Yeah, I mean, this is Snipes doing Snipes. And I mean, actually, again, Wesley Snipes is really good in this movie. Like,
he is.
It's kind of cool. Again, this is a different look for Wesley. You know what I mean? Like, he's playing the kind of the smartest guy in the room detective guy, which I can't remember a lot of roles where he's done that.
Well, because it's never really like a detective so much as it's just like he's a cop.
Yeah, exactly. Cop ass kicker guy.
So, well, this movie is like forcing him to kind of do a little bit of police work.
Yeah.
And he gets to just be a dude who's good at being a police detective.
And he's chasing this dude through alleyways. It's raining. He chases him to the place where...
He's chasing him through the rain in like tank top.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
It's just like...
He's just in shape. Well, because he's like... Isn't he interrupted doing ironing or something
yes,
like that?
I think he's doing the week's ironing.
It's like
night
weird,
ironing.
It's like late night housework.
But also, he chases him to the place where Peter Parker killed his dad's killer there, or Uncle Ben's killer. Like, this like abandoned warehouse they wind up in.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I was expecting the Joker to pop out at some point, or maybe at least a Two-Face.
So this is my question, actually. I was talking about this yesterday, because I'm a loser. What
to
would
yourself?
Be the, yes, to myself. Okay. No, to my fiance. She listens sometimes. what would be the best Wesley Snipes Batman villain? Like, who would he best be served playing? We've already posited.
So he's Batman.
I just want
What Batman villain would he play?
Would he play? Okay.
And you can go 90s Wesley or now Wesley.
I mean, I think we said it before, but the Joker would be really awesome, cool. Right? It'd be, like Simon Phoenix was kind of a Joker-esque character.
Yeah.
That would work for a Two-Face too, though.
It could. I could see him as any. I could see him as Bane. Like, you know what I mean? Like
No. And I'll well, unless you had like the obnoxious, like chatty Tom Hardy Bane.
But then you don't get his face. It's beautiful.
That's true.
I don't want that.
Like, I could see him as a Riddler.
Yeah, could work.
He could break fucking backs, though, man.
Yeah, he can. Yeah.
Fucking pave a road with spinal columns.
Oh, well, in that case, the Eggman.
We know who's going to play Eggman, the sharp egg. Spikings. Yes.
And I not to, like, repeat Suicide Squad, but, like, he would be a great Killer Croc. And, because then, again, shirtless face, although they put a makeup on it. I don't know about that.
Well,
that's too much.
We can reinterpret Killer Croc.
You can reinterpret any of these guys. I think Two-Face is also a really good one. Like, he could do a little bit, like, a gravelly voice.
Well, because Wesley is, like, he's very good at, like, turning shit on and off.
Yeah.
And that's what you'd have to do for Two-Face.
But I really do think he's the Batman. I think he's a great Batman. He would be a great Batman.
A-plus Batman.
I could totally see that. Yeah, now I'm just thinking about that and how much I'd rather watch that than Ben Affleck in a couple weeks.
Yep.
Oh, man.
A couple days ago.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just talking about, in the current time in which we're recording this episode, that's still a week out. Man, what a wretched undertaking that's going to be, probably, huh?
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. So there's a new piece of information here. Wesley Snipes finds a photograph of this woman who was murdered, and it appears that, like, on the actual photo negative, there's more of the frame than what you got, because apparently photo stores just cropped all your shit back in the day.
I guess so.
According to this one, like, crime scene technician, I didn't know that. This guy's like, oh, yeah, photo stores, can't trust them.
And we get also some CGI computer magic with this photo. It's like, oh, let me enhance the photo. I'm like, what? You can't even do that now. You're talking about fucking, like, actual film.
Let me create the rest of this photo.
It
might look something a little like this.
Right. And I mean, and the big clue is crossed arms. Normal man would do that. No, that's a Secret Service agent.
Well, and it's a thing because at this point they're like, oh, by the way, that person in the White House that this woman was fucking was the president's son.
Mr. Tate Donovan.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Playing Kyle.
Kyle. Oh, God. Kyle Neal.
Kyle Cox. Oh, no. Yeah, Kyle Neal.
Kyle Cox. No, yes. President Neal. So Kyle Neal, he's a college student. I feel like Tate Donovan's a little old to be playing a college freshman.
I think he's
in this
a
movie.
Law student.
Oh, is that what it
maybe
is?
He's a little
I think
older.
He's a senior auditor going to these classes just to see what's up.
Oh, God, I hated those people. They were always like bringing sandwiches to the lecture hall. It's like, fucking wait the 3 hours.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's a
blood sugar. What? Sorry.
You want to keep on talking about blood sugar?
I'm just making fun of old people I hate.
That's fair. That's fair. He's a playboy. Like, that's his whole thing, is that he...
Right.
Is that a fact?
Yes, he is.
Now, you think he's cleaning up, huh?
They say he is, and
dude,
he says he is.
Of course. He's like Roger Quimby.
But because he was dating that baby, right?
Yeah, he was dating
the
baby.
He did get the baby.
My God, she's just a baby. You can't murder babies. I'm so mad.
I'm pro-life here, huh?
Then he goes to a dance club where there's a bunch of babies. Babies he used to date.
Oh, my God. Baby dance.
Well, this is the best part of the movie because Wesley Snipes follows him to a dance club, and like Kyle is flirting with one woman, and then this other woman's like, "Hey, Kyle, it's me. Remember we had sex?" And he's like, "Yeah, bye." And then like Wesley Snipes is like, "Hey, oh, now I could use the fact that I look like Wesley Snipes to my advantage. And he's sure. I'm just going to flirt with this woman. She's like, can I buy you a drink? And I'm like, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, well, I'm here. I'm Wesley Snipes. Let's do it. Tate Donovan ran away from me.
Even I have the world's worst haircut on right now. I could make it work.
I got a cigar in my mouth. The man's in the White House. Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
And he finds out that, like, he's a philanderer, blah, blah, blah. And, like, he calls up Dennis Miller in the middle of the night to give him this information. Like, what is Dennis Miller doing in this film?
Nothing.
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 I mean, I guess he's comic relief, but not everything needs fucking comic relief. Let's just have a serious goddamn movie about a woman getting murdered.
Beyond Baby the magic murdered. Of the photos, uh-huh. which is magic.
Oh, uh-huh. We should say, by the way, that the whole thing with that photo is when he looks at the full frame, there's a Secret Service agent
yes.
there.
Yes.
And Wesley Snipes is like, all right, Diane Lane, who the fuck is this Secret Service agent? And she's supposed to be helping him.
Yeah.
And she's like, nah, I can't tell you that.
It's top secret.
It's top secret.
It turns out it is Burton Cash.
Right.
Which is some name. I feel like all these were temporary names.
Yes.
They were meant to go back and put real ones in.
Oh, well, this also, I mean, it feels like it's based off an airport novel.
Yeah, you know absolutely.
I mean? So, like, you would have these trash names just right. left in this yeah. book.
But it's not based off an airport novel, somehow.
Somehow it's not. I think it was just, well, it was rumored to be based off of Margaret Truman's murder in the White House. And it's interesting, Margaret Truman, she was a mystery writer. She was the daughter of Harry Truman. I used to read her books all the time.
Wow.
And she had this series of DC murder novels, like Murder at the Pentagon, Murder at the FBI,
so they
Murder
like,
at the CIA,
they changed
so on.
It just enough so they could cut her out of any royalties?
I think that's kind of what some people were saying. And I read Murder at the White House, but I don't remember what the deal was, other than there's literally a murder at the White House.
Was it a baby that got killed?
It was not. No. I don't think so.
I mean, she took, like, side plots from Tom Clancy novels and just made them into full-blown novels.
She kind of did. I mean, she had,
she was probably first, right?
She had, a detective character. He wasn't, like, a detective, but he always got wrapped up in this shit. It was, like, a husband and wife
his
thing.
His name was Alex Cox.
Mac and Annabelle. I read way too many of those
Mac
books.
Mac and Me?
Yes, it was Mac and Me.
So the magic of that. There's another bit of magic here, and that is that Dennis Miller is married.
Oh, right.
For some, I don't understand why
someone said "Till Death Do Us Part" to Dennis Miller. I want this all of the time.
What's awesome though, this phone call is him like hiding under the comforter, talking on the phone with his best friend Wesley Snipes, and the you just see like a thing that's supposed to be a person. I think it was just a pile of pillows,
or maybe he's doing like a Ferris Bueller's Day Off thing. There's a mannequin next to him.
Don't say a word, babe.
Oh no, they're getting a divorce and he's lonely.
Oh, that's it. Oh, he's got a real doll. Dennis and the real doll.
Or it's a corpse.
Or it's a corpse.
Because he's a detective. And,
yeah.
You know, maybe, yeah. I mean, maybe, I don't know.
It would actually be awesome then if it turned out Dennis Miller, like, did the whole thing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The reveal is finding that he's murdered his wife.
He's got like his whole apartment's like a murder house.
Yeah, like
and there's like corpses everywhere. The refrigerator.
Dennis Miller is like a modern day like H.H. Holmes.
Yes, exactly.
There's my murder house.
I'm sorry. As unbelievable as him being married is, him
Devil
having
in the White City, babe.
Him having power is even more unbelievable. Power over others, it just doesn't make sense to me.
He had power over all those like black and white photos he made fun of.
Yes.
He had power over the nation, man. He had that HBO show.
What?
Dennis Miller HBO. Live?
Oh, yeah,
I'm losing my voice speaking about Dennis Miller because he's taking my breath away.
So Tate Donovan, we find he's like a red herring, obviously. It's like, oh, Tate Donovan and Diane Lane. By the way, we can get Diane Lane, who used to be an Olympic sharpshooter, ? Why bother?
Comes to nothing.
I mean, she shoots some stuff and she's a good shot.
There's specifically a fucking part where she's supposed to shoot somebody and she misses. Oh. And Wesley Snipes is like, I fucking thought you went to the Olympics for that. And she's like, Yeah, well,
I'm drunk. So, you know,
what's your excuse?
The titular Martha, man. Speaking of Batman.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. Fuck.
She's in that Justice League movie.
Why?
Great question.
Well, because Superman's not going to be in it, though, right? It's definitely not going to be in it, right?
We're in for like a 45-minute fucking memorial service, guaranteed. She's making a speech. They're dedicating a park to Superman.
I would love to go to Superman Park. But there better be a slide there. She used to be on Tate Donovan's detail. She caught him beating up his girlfriend, and she like was like, "Yeah, reassign me." You know, like that's.
And enough. They covered it up.
They did cover it up. They
covered it up.
Just like they would have covered up this titular murder at 1600. I just realized in my notes, by the way, this woman, this baby woman who was murdered, is named Kitty Neal. So the murder of Kitty Neal.
No, Kitty Neal is the mother. That's
That's right.
She plays the first lady, who is played by an actress who delivers my favorite line reading in any movie, which is "Silence of the Lambs."
She's the senator there.
Take this thing back to Baltimore.
509, sound a burn.
Toughened your nipples, didn't it?
There's like a Tate Donovan, like Wesley Snipes scene wherein Tate Donovan does reveal like, oh yeah, she's like, you know, renting a car, but she doesn't even have a driver's license.
What?
And she's getting like a garbage disposal put in or something.
Yeah,
like,
that she was not going to flee the country to U.S. territory, right? Where is the Virgin Islands?
Yeah, I mean, like, that's
who's president of the Virgin Islands?
That's a great question.
I don't know, but I just spoke with him.
He's like the Green Goblin in the mirror every morning.
I wish the deep state existed. Somebody fucking figure this shit out.
No, it turned out it was just an old story. It wasn't real. She was going to get a garbage disposal put in like the day after she disappeared, and like, babe, maybe she scheduled it way in advance and forgot. Oh no, she bought it the day before or whatever.
Yeah,
but it's pretty responsible of her to make all these nice home improvements. At 25, doing better than us.
Yeah, and it looks like it's an apartment. I don't think that's a house.
But the funny thing is, like, when Eleanor Alda was crafting this scheme, didn't someone be like, "Oh, by the way, you're saying that she's renting a car? She didn't never drive. Your dad, just get it done."
One's going to research it that far. It's fine.
I don't know. You stop me in the middle of my day and playing golf. You're talking about fucking garbage disposals?
Mr. Advisor, do you want her credit card information her phone calls or
anything? Dude, just cancel the service, like the guy coming out there, and, give her a driver's license.
Yeah.
They control the DMV.
That's actually true.
No, actually, I had a really bad conversation with the guy at the DMV, the head of that. I'm not buying him anything.
Yeah, no, they're not going to do it. I swung all my foreign security clearances.
Oh my God. Mr. Advisor, we have all these computer magicians, and they can just take care of like literally anything.
Just get it done. And by that, I mean do it badly.
Listen, how is any of this talking about the DMV leading to me bombing North Korea? I want to bomb the DMZ, not the DMV.
So there's a scene with Ronnie Cox and Harris Yulin. It's like the team and
is an embarrassing meeting.
And there's like a nobody vice president as well that's there.
Yeah, well, that guy's just going to be a puppet in Alan Alda's puppet government.
Vice president, nobody.
And like everyone is saying that they have to go in and use military action. This is the scene where it's like, let's go to war with China. Why? Like they escalate from North Korea at China too. Why not?
Yeah, well, we're gonna be there anyway, so it's totally fine.
It's on the way.
We can go back. We'll finish Vietnam. We'll finish the North Koreans. We'll finish what we started, Mr. President. It's the only thing we can do.
Well, because the whole thing is that they have troops. They've taken.
There's a hostage situation.
Smuggled footage. First of all, this videotape got smuggled out of North Korea that shows American troops being treated poorly by North Korean soldiers. And I'm just thinking, how the fuck did they get there?
Yeah,
what is going on?
What were the circumstances?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's
we're trying to overthrow their government, and then they get fucking snippy about it, Mr. President.
Listen, Mr. President, I'm going to tell you something you might not want to hear, but you're going to listen up.
I'm all ears.
The North Koreans have a little bit of an attitude, sir. They've been mouthing off to the United States government.
It's on China to fix. I'm going to pressure China by giving them better trade deals.
It's a good idea.
You know who's in this movie, by the way, and he's kind of an important character, but not really, is the guy who played Mr. Morgan on Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah. Well, he has like a fucking fight with Wesley Snipes at the end of the movie.
Yeah, that's kind of the only thing that makes him sort of important, but he's just sort of like... And another like heavy for Alan Alda, yeah. I guess, is the idea.
Well, so the thing is, Spikings, who's this guy who's the head of the Secret Service, is trying to cover this thing up and is doing a miserable job of it. Diane Lane goes rogue because Wesley Snipes pressures her to go rogue, essentially.
Because he does. So he'll call Dennis Miller in the middle of the night, but he goes to her house in the middle of the night.
Yes.
He's like, listen, this is what's going down. It's all hands on deck. I need you to break into these archives and fucking steal all this evidence for me.
And that this is an action scene that happens, and that's something.
The action scene of her breaking into the archives?
Escaping the archives with the thing. Mr. Morgan's after like the fucking T-1000.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. Oh, there's actually a good, when she's like running through city streets again.
Yes.
There's so much in this movie that you're... Here's what it is. It tricks you into thinking that stuff is happening, but stuff is not happening.
Yeah, that's
like
a
that
good
whole
point.
Chase scene. It's totally forgettable, and the whole time you're like, "Well, this is getting good."
Well, but other than like this, just the stupidity of everything, it's really straightforward.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, there's nothing too like outlandish here. Other than the fact that the computer magic happens,
there's
and that
not
Dennis Miller's married.
It's like a conspiracy that's pretty cut and dry.
it's just a spoiler alert, it's just me.
It's just
that's
the deep state.
The beginning and the end, and also sort of the middle. That's kind of the rub.
Showed my hand when I showed up in that bathroom there at the beginning of the movie. Shouldn't have done that. Should have held off.
Going jogging with Wesley Snipes.
There's this weird part, too, where Spiking sexually harasses her.
Uh-huh.
It's right before the archive break-in where he's like, now you guys in the Secret Service got to keep things together.
Yeah.
And I don't want you snooping around where you ain't supposed to be. And he like puts his hands on her shoulders.
It's like one of those team player lines. You're like, ew.
Oh, right. Yeah. This is actually a great exchange because he's like, oh, yeah, you were in the Olympics. You know everything about being a team player. And she's like, sharpshooting isn't a team sport.
You know you gotta loosen up when you're in the Olympics.
Don't you like that? I'm a low-budget Lawrence Tierney.
That's honestly what this is.
The funny thing is, Diane Lane, she's got a prequel movie that I would love to watch. She was on the Olympics, and she met Reagan. And Reagan had a female Secret Service agent who like took her under her wing, and like they made this friendship, and she got her into the Secret Service. That's a really powerful film.
There's your Faye Dunaway role, right?
Yeah,
there.
Exactly.
Oh, perfect. Mm-hmm. And it could kind of be like The Professional, dude. She's like showing her all the ins and outs of being the Secret Service agent.
Yes,
I'd watch that.
But then the tables turn, and she tries to kill Reagan, and then Diane Lane has to kill her.
Or well, I thought Reagan would be the Gary Oldman.
In what?
In The Professional.
Oh, okay.
Everyone, mommy. Do you ever listen to Mozart?
I'm taking my dementia pills and cracking it in my mouth, mommy.
Reagan just doing the the twist.
That is a movie worth watching.
Reagan just running around the fucking Oval Office with a shotgun, just conducting.
In a tan suit. Ooh, gross.
So in this meeting that we were talking about, you know, it's like, we got to bomb China while we're there.
Yeah.
Like, let's just do it all. And Ronnie Cox is like, as the president, I'm making the call that we're just going to hang back. And everybody in the room's like, oh, but Mr. President. Everyone gets like so mad about it to the point where Harris Yulin tells him off. And then he's like, well, I hate to do this, Harris Yulin.
He said it's borderline criminal.
Yeah,
like it's criminal act by the president for not getting us into World War III.
Guess exactly. What? You're fired, Harris Yulin. How about that shit? You just called me a criminal for this?
Ronnie Cox does it, dude. He's like, I expect your resignation on my desk by morning. And he's like, you'll have it. Be quiet.
Like, I'm not going to resign. And then the AT-AT Walker from RoboCop comes out. And he's like, oh, no.
Ed 209.
Ed 209. Yeah, man.
Now, there was
I feel like Ed 209 follows Ronnie Cox around everywhere.
Oh, right, yeah. Right, even to this very moment. Like Ronnie Cox is trying to go to Whole Foods.
Oh, god damn it!
Go home. You're not wanted here anymore.
He's like all rusty. I feel bad for Ed 209.
Get out of here, Ed 209. We don't want you anymore. What did I say?
It looks back like...
Now, Ed, I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but I'm trying to give my daughter away at her wedding. And, and I appreciate the bow tie, Ed. I really do.
Ronnie, you take that Ed 209 behind the shed and you shoot that fucking thing. You hear me? God damn it.
We are putting good money after bad trying to keep this Ed 209 in shape. It is long past its prime. You need to get rid of it.
Do you have any idea how much ammunition it costs to fucking arm that thing?
Look, we will just get a new Ed 209. We'll give it like a month and then we'll get a new Ed 209 and it'll be fine. You're not even going to think about this one anymore.
But Ed and I have been through so much.
Oh, get out of here, Ed. Not now. We're talking about your fate, buddy.
Barely even use your RoboCop.
Man, just like old yellering. Amazing.
Well, I like the idea of like Ronnie Cox throwing Ed 209 a frisbee and Ed 209 shooting it in the sky.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, buddy. One last throw. Pull.
All right, Ed. We're gonna go for a trip in the country.
Right. That's right, Ed. Get excited. You're gonna go move to a farm upstate. Truck's right here behind this barn.
Oh, this empowering story about a little boy's robot came all the way like 100 miles and followed him home.
That's really sweet.
Somewhere around here, they mentioned, and this was what I was confused by, just a drop line, something about an Oval Office threesome.
Well, this is the weird thing that never actually, unless I'm wrong, is never resolved, is Kyle definitely had sex with her, and she told somebody else, or maybe Kyle said that he was sharing a mistress with his father.
Oh, that's
disgusting.
And I maybe sharing meaning like he has sex with her on Monday,
right?
Dad has sex on Tuesday or something.
Well, the
oh, that's fine then.
And no, I mean, it's
never
not
mind. That's fine.
Fucking Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Well, the fucker in the opener is definitely a Ronnie Cox age. It's
you
not
think
Tate
so?
Donovan.
You think so?
That, oh, really?
That man is so? Older than Tate Donovan. I'm sorry. There's no way.
Is, you think
maybe it's me, Alan Alda. I've got to commit to the bit.
I get a taste, too.
I'm laying pipe in the Oval.
Was it just like a sex actor, or do you think they're trying to do that like, oh, who could it be?
I think it's they use a sex actor because it's like, who could it be? Because you can't just put fucking Tate Donovan in there.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really even notice. I was just like,
it's an older man.
I was looking at the emblem on the carpet, so yeah. You know that it's the Oval Office.
But the thing is, you never know whether or not Ronnie Cox did, or because at the end of the movie, it's like it's all, you know, Alan Alda pulling the strings, and like he's. But you never know whether or not that's true, whether he fucked this lady or not.
I'm relatively certain he did.
Oh, okay.
I think they're like somebody asks him at one point, and he just like has like that. I'm not going to answer. Just look at you straight faced. Me, yeah. I did fuck her.
Mm-hmm. I fucked her.
And then his wife finds out, and she's like, "Take that thing back to Baltimore," which is actually just up the road.
Yeah,
that's right. not a long commute at all. Mm-hmm.
Just take the Amtrak.
So there's something here about like Tate Donovan like has to lose his Secret Service detail.
Sure.
And it's a weird like he goes to his lady friend's house and she's like, "Oh, I've been so scared. This is my life is falling apart. I'm so glad to see you." He's like, "Yeah, I gotta borrow your car.
I have to use your Batman backyard." That fucking
what the fuck was this? I mean, he like he scales a hill.
And well, then his car is on a deck for some reason.
He brings her a blue rose. whatever happens at Batman Begins.
It's so weird, though. I was like, where is this car?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's sitting on a deck.
Well,
very odd place for a car.
Yeah, it seems like there would have to be like an adjacent hill that you go up from.
Well, because it's like, all right, where am I going to put this car? How about on this wooden platform overlooking a cliff?
Well, it's very much like, to your point, the 60s Batman, where like the grass would fall down and the Batmobile would shoot out of the side of a mountain.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. You're like way outside of town.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he ditching the Secret Service at this point?
Because he needs to talk. Wesley Snipes sends him a note like, "I know, we need to talk.
Oh, right, I know what you did or whatever. Meet me at such and
such a
location."
I know what you did last summer.
And this is how you know he's a playboy, because even his goddamn professor is like, "Going to see the ladies, huh?"
Yeah.
Oh, right. This was what was weird, though. How does he... how does Wesley Snipes slip this letter to him in the lecture hall?
He just knows. He's got his ways.
I mean, you just see people like passing a note to Tate Donovan in this massive lecture hall.
Well, as we know, Wesley Snipes has this scale model of Washington, D.C., so he knows where all these secret tunnels are, question mark.
All the ins and outs of D.C., man.
So we can get to it. So they wind up, Tate Donovan's like, hey, blah, 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 it's not me. Look into this other stuff. We wind up meeting Spikings, because Spikings is like getting wise to something for some reason.
Right.
And they're going to meet him in his like his palatial abode, you know.
In outside. Alexandria, we're told.
Mm-hmm.
This is and where Spikings lives.
And it's your classic whodunit thing where he's about to reveal the whole thing and then he gets shot in the fucking chest.
Oh, man. Spikings just explodes right here. It was pretty great. And it's this dude. What's this guy's ridiculous
name? Burton Cash.
Burton Cash is just laying waste to this guy's house.
Yeah, he's trying to kill Diane Lane and Wesley Snipes at this point. But then they realize they have to sneak into the White House because obviously that Alan Alda is going to pull a coup and force Ronnie Cox to resign. And that's sort of like the last act.
How are they going to get into the White House? Through JFK's sex tunnels.
Man, you should have just fucking demolished those sex tunnels immediately after that assassination.
Right.
At least scrub and rinse. Like, really.
Well, I just mean like because like now and forever.
Yeah.
It's like, how are we going to do anything secret in Washington? And the screenplay writing is always the go-to. Well, you know, those Kennedy fuck tunnels.
Well, okay, here's the more...
Were they actually Kennedy fuck tunnels?
That's how he shepherded them all in.
And well, they weren't Lincoln's fuck tunnels.
Women went in, bodies went out.
And that's how it's got to be.
I mean, maybe they existed before Kennedy, but he put them
all,
on the map.
And more interesting is all the doors that these tunnels lead to are unlocked.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And there's only a motion sensor at the end of it. Like, there should be motion sensors throughout.
Now, this is the biggest mistake of this movie. They're like, this is what we need to do to sneak into the White House.
Uh-huh.
All right, Diane Lane, let's go. And then he's like, oh, hang on a second. We need one more person for this team. And, like, in comes Dennis Miller, who's, like, tired because it's the middle of the night.
Yeah.
You know what? Just go home. There's no reason to be here. He adds nothing to it. I don't even remember what the excuse is for calling him.
He's dressed like fucking Big Pussy from The Sopranos at the end of this
dude,
movie.
Dude, he is wearing this Reebok fucking jumpsuit to beat the band. He looks ridiculous.
And, like, what he adds to the team is he distracts, like, the two guards by Dennis Millering all over
them. Let me just go talk to these cops, babe. And it's great because you get an inkling that they've done this before because, like, Wesley's doing something. And then Dennis Miller comes up. He's like, hey, you think it's about time for the meet and greet? And I was like, oh, man, you've nicknamed this maneuver. Like, you're rolling this.
Yeah, he just walks up to them. He's like, how you doing, babe? You hear about this? Madonna's got a book coming out about sex. I was like, what? Who is this guy?
Are you doing material right now? Did you
just talking to you about a book coming out, babe? Come on.
I bet you Sean Penn's got a sweaty brow from it.
Hey, Jimmy, get over here. This guy's pretending to talk to us, but he's really testing out stand-up comedy material on us.
Also, shouldn't we be Secret Service agents? Whatever. Who cares?
They're not suspicious of this dude at all, probably because he's just a middle-aged white guy. You know, these
in
guys just, they're like, yeah, oh, this guy in a tracksuit's just trying to have conversation with us in the middle of the night. No big deal.
She's every page is about sex, babe. I mean, it's like, what was she, a Greco-Roman emperor?
It's like, oh, man, you know, all right, go back and retool this bit, please.
Here's our notes. As Secret Service agents who you were testing this material out on.
That book came out in 1995.
So they do sneak into the tunnels, and for some reason, Dennis Miller comes with.
That's what I don't understand. Like, fine, you want to leave him for the distracting portion of the mission, fine.
Sure.
But he doesn't need to get in this tunnel, and I think the character even says as much. And you're like, yeah, stay back. You know what, dude? Stay on here at the foot of this tunnel and just keep a lookout.
But also, the whole idea is silly, because their thing is like, oh my god, Alan Alda's gonna force Ronnie Cox to resign. The only way we can stop this is by going through this tunnel, blah, blah, blah. No, no. go to the press. The short answer, because they have this tape that clears everyone of wrongdoing.
Which, by the way, they go to a Best Buy or whatever and they put it on like the VCR that hooks it up to every fucking TV in the building.
Dude, this is a really obnoxious bit where like the TV salesman keeps coming over.
It's an aggressive VCR salesman, FYI. He's like, oh, it's a forehead there.
This is a really popular bit, and I don't know where it came from, because this also happens in Bad Boys 2.
Yes.
I remember it most memorably from Ruthless People.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know where this...
Where you put the tape inside of an electronic store and it goes on everything.
All the TVs start playing it.
Oh, sure. Well, that's just a thing you could do.
I just don't know where it came from.
No. It's an old hat kind of a thing. But yeah, just go to the press. Like, we have the tape. It's Alan Alda. Because, like, even Alan Alda, like, leaks to somebody.
Well, leaking.
leaks saying that, like, the president is about to resign over this thing.
Right.
Over the murder at the White House.
Like, when they're done taking up every TV at Best Buy, they turn it off. And then that's when they see they've been implicated in the press.
Oh, of course.
As suspects.
Oh,
that's the thing, is all of a sudden it goes from, like, we're commanding all of these TVs through this one VCR to, like, now they're all turned to the same cable news station or whatever.
Yes.
And it's like their faces are up and it's like these two people murdered this secretary in the White House.
And what that turned out to be? Fake news.
That's right.
It was fake news.
It was right there in front of us this whole time.
Yeah,
it
was
unbelievable. Nando's dogs. They reported Wesley Snipes. He did not do it.
Okay. All right. It happened, but the reporting was fake.
and so Alan Alda barges into the Oval Office and he's like, I have your resignation, Mr. President. And it's like, all right.
Alan Alda resigns?
No, Alan Alda wants Ronnie
Kinzig.
Yeah,
he pushes the thing
on it.
Right.
It's criminal what you're doing. It's wrong. You have to start war with the countries.
Look, we're only killing... If you don't do anything, we only killed 13 soldiers. We have to kill 13,000.
Oh, man. 13 million, I think. But this also puts the timeline on it. It's like, at 10 o'clock, Mr. President, you better resign by 10.
Right. Well, I want you to be resigned before Conan. I want Conan. I want to watch Conan knowing that you've resigned, Mr. President.
So he's scheduled this like 10 p.m. press conference, the whole thing. And Alan Alda reveals right here kind of what the whole, like, well, at least like the seed of the motivation was. Because I guess whatever this blown up in North Korea was, the people that are hostages there are because the president pulled out and left those dudes behind.
Uh-huh.
And Alan Alda's like, all right, Mr. President, as a former military man, I stand by no one left behind. And you left them behind. Like, that's his whole thing is, like, you left these dudes there. They should have come back. Corpses are alive. It doesn't matter.
I killed this baby for that.
Yep.
And then, he's also, like, setting up, like, your son will go to prison forever. We framed this entire thing in order for you to resign. So you pick resign and would cover everything up and everyone's happy. You could go golfing or, you know.
Well, it's laying the ground for a military coup because, like, how could you have a government after this? After learning about all this shit that goes down,
I ask myself that every day.
Yes, and it's so much less than this.
And I'm actually like, a military coup sounds okay. It doesn't sound that bad.
Oh, man, Yulin as Mattis.
Oh, sure, dude, why not? I think Harris Yulin was like kind of a good guy here. He's like a secret good guy. We'll never know because he just resigns. There's a weird, they try to get him to be
write a book
for like half a second. There's like security footage. And they're trying to like figure out who's going in and out of the White House is the whole thing. That's how they solve this is they see Alan Alda going through security with this other dude.
Yeah.
Because the whole count was off. Like how many people are in the White House and Alan Alda says 31.
Isn't it Buckley Cash or whoever that fucking guy is?
Burton Cash.
Burton Cash. Yeah, they're like, oh, he let Burton Cash in with him kind of thing. But also Harris Yulin is on that tape for a hot second. And they're like, he's already out of the movie.
Yeah, it's fine.
Well, can't bring him back.
Let's not bother. Can we talk about, the arousal of watching Dennis Miller get shot.
Oh, isn't it great? Isn't it just the best?
Oh, I was like, oh my God, is he going to, oh,
Oh, is he going to die? Thank God.
Andrew, you and I were talking about this. You remember that Dennis Miller died in this movie, like kind of like a fake memory.
Yeah.
I have a fake memory of like Dennis Miller being behind it all for some reason. Like, oh, I kind of had, I was like, oh, this is the movie where
you
like,
went too
Dennis,
far, babe.
Dennis Miller's in on it.
No, dude, he does not have the chops to be a character who's in on it.
Yeah.
Alan Alda would not suffer him.
Yeah.
Because they would have to talk. Yeah. And like,
he barely has the chops to pretend like he just got shot. Mm-hmm. Like, he's laying on the ground, and it's got... All I could think about was John Belushi in Blues Brothers when, like, Carrie Fisher makes him, like, jump down in the mud and whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that's... He's just laying there like, oh,
don't worry about me, babe.
Yeah, I'll be fine. Just keep, you know what? Keep the movie going. I'll be all right.
There's not motion sensors down just here or anything.
Give me, on your way out, do me a favor, babe. Give me some black and white photos of Boris Yeltsin.
Got some thoughts. Got some thoughts to tell the dirt.
Well, it's awesome.
Dirt.
Hey, dirt.
The dude that shoots him, of course, is our friend Cash Moonshine. What is this guy's name?
Burton Cash.
Oh, Burton, my name's going to be Cash Moonshine.
So Burton Cash like follows them into the sewer, and he's who shoots Dennis Miller. You get a really awesome Wesley Snipes fight scene here where it's pretty much Wesley Snipes fighting the Rat King. Because it's like this white fucking redheaded guy in a sewer, and Wesley Snipes is beating the shit out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he fucking pops this dude right in the skull.
Well, no, isn't it? Doesn't Diane Lane shoot Tim Burton?
I thought it was Wesley Snipes that gets it, the round.
Because aren't that he's like, I think he's like got Snipes by like the throat or something. And like,
oh, is that,
struggling
is, that, is that where her sharp shooting comes in?
Yeah, she finally
she
gets
redeemed
it.
She's not drunk this time.
Well, because that's when Spikings is murdered. She tries to shoot this dude and misses, and that's where Wesley gets the criticism.
I think she redeems herself at this point by killing
him. I see. All right. So that dude's dead, and we continue on into the White House.
And, like, they set up a motion sensor, and all these teams come down to get them, and, like, Diane Lane is, like, basically a decoy, and Wesley Snipes does some cool karateing up into a tunnel, which is kind of fun.
It gets a little diehardy around here, because he's just, like, in this vent crawling through shit, and all these dudes are, like, running by the hallway, like, underneath him.
And is this around when he dresses up as a janitor?
Yes. And he starts whistling.
Dude, yeah, seriously. It's just like, usual guy's out sick today. I'm just a guy in the White House now cleaning up.
And normal guys whistle at the White House.
Yeah, I am just your standard whistling janitor.
It's 1942, I guess.
Dude, like, here is how you can make yourself quite obvious to be not who you are. One little tune.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's like that is the standard whistling that Wesley Snipes is doing.
You do that at the White House, alarms start just going off.
Exactly. Oh, it's that fake whistle. He whistled that fake song. Get him.
We can't have motion sensors, but we're going to have those. God
so this
it.
Is when he's in the elevator with Mr. Morgan and somebody else. And they're doing like slap boxing, like Steven Seagal slap fighting.
I didn't know that Mr. Morgan could do this.
I didn't think so either.
It was pretty great.
Yeah.
It was
awesome.
It was nice to see.
Is there a third guy in the
there
elevator?
Is, there is some white guy in
and
there.
And he's like immediately taken out.
Yeah.
And then Wesley Snipes and Mr. Morgan go at it. Mr. Morgan loses. Kind of in spectacular beatdown fashion.
Mm-hmm. And then
he leaves that elevator again like nothing to see in that elevator.
They noticed it because his shoes were different or something. Like, that's not the janitor's shoes.
Those shoes are way too nice to be a janitor's shoes.
And I don't know, like, get him. Get that janitor. He's whistling. Nobody hears the fake whistle song. Am I crazy here or what, guys?
Is our fake whistle alarm broken or what?
You know what? We're going to clear out the whole Secret Service. This is just unacceptable.
So Diane Lane's like arrested.
Yeah, Diane Lane gets arrested, and so does Wesley Snipes at this point. And then the president is like going through like whatever process he has to do to resign. And then like Snipes calls. Like,
it's a great moment though, because like Ronnie Cox kind of pushes this door open, and there's like 12 dudes just staring at him, and he's basically like, "Let's get this show on the road." And he's like walking down the hallway to like, you know, quit being the president.
Yeah.
Like the resignation speech is right here. Wesley Snipes is like, I know that your son is innocent.
Yeah.
Like, dude, if you're Alan Alda and you have these goons arresting this guy, you got to fucking make sure that mouth is closed.
Mm-hmm. Get him out. Get him into the tunnels.
Like, the only reason this presidency is saved is due to a hallway shouting. It's well, so. lazy.
This is my favorite line. Is they get Wesley Snipes down on the ground and they're like, and he, but he starts reading Alan Alda his rights.
Oh,
and,
right.
And he says, "You have the right to remain silent, you prick."
Yep.
Which
yep.
I always kind of wonder, because this happens in a couple of movies, like where like we add little modifiers to the Miranda rights. I think that invalidates them.
Exactly. Like, you got to be careful, dude. I think that's how Kruger got off.
Yeah, it's like you're trying to remain silent, you sick son of a bitch.
Yep. And that's all it took, dude. And it was like, nope, Miranda did not count. Set this child murderer free.
I recorded it. Let's go to the audio tape.
And it's just whatever. It's kind of just this. The whole movie comes to everything in this hallway.
Yes. And
Ronnie Cox punches Alan Alda in the face, which is pretty great. He falls over a couch.
This is where it really becomes a movie that you would make to be shown inside another movie. Because he's like, Ronnie Cox fucking cleans Alan Alda's clock. And then fucking like Wesley Snipes is like, "Nice hook, Mr. President."
Oh, yeah, nice hook, Mr. President.
Like, what?
And then, like, doesn't, like, a gun materialize in Alan Alda's hand out of nowhere?
It's liquid metal.
Because not only...
They don't show him pulling it out of anything.
I don't know what happens here, dude, but not only does Alan Alda get punched over a couch, he then gets murdered in fabulous fashion right here.
Is this
here.
The only time Alan Alda's been shot, like, repeatedly?
Probably. In cinema?
Yeah.
You just mean in the pictures, right?
Well, yeah, I feel like he's alive. God bless.
Yeah, I kind of think so. Yeah.
I don't know. That last season of West Wing has a grisly end.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
What?
The last season of West Wing has a grisly end.
But yeah, like, I don't know. Like,
he's
Hawkeye
always played
never...
the professor or something.
Yeah, like, Hawkeye never got shot at.
Yeah.
Like, not like this.
Not like this.
He just gets fucking blown away, dude. Is it Diane Lane, or are they both doing it? I think Diane Lane fires a gun while wearing handcuffs.
Well, she takes a
shot.
Bullet for the
president. Oh, that's right. She jumps in front of Ronnie Cox, which...
Yeah, man. Sure.
Yeah, right.
Sure.
Also, what's the vice president's involvement in this coup is my thing.
The puppet, dude. Yes.
In the other room, he's getting ready to like give his first address or something.
He's in hair and makeup. Alan Alda's like barking direction at him.
If you want to be smart about it, you keep him in the dark, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you want to involve him. You want him to be clean.
Yeah, but no, this dude's in on it.
Okay.
To a point. He looks like Michael Dukakis, actually.
Man,
speaking
what a dark
of people
timeline.
That were never president.
Diane Lynn gets shot. Alan Alda gets obliterated. And
it's like Ed 209 shoots him.
That's actually true.
Cox is like going to stay the president, and the Ed 209 runs down from the countryside and just shoots Alan Alda like 1,000 times.
Oh, that'd be a sweet ending of that movie. Like, you know, Ronnie Cox is in trouble, and he's like, "Oh man, I really wish I had my killing robot right now."
I missed you, boy.
Oh, well, Alan Alda is hamburger now.
And so is everybody else.
Yeah,
everybody is destroyed.
You were just supposed to kill the one guy. Bad, Ed 209. Bad.
That's kind of the end of the movie.
There is a frustrating bit at the end of this movie.
The buddy-buddy shit.
No, well, that sucks.
Make out. They should at least make out.
That would be something.
Come on.
What, Ronnie Cox and Wesley Snipes?
I was about to say the same fucking thing.
Yeah, that's institutional racism, keeping those two afar from each other.
No, there's a bullshit thing where it's like no star of the film whatsoever. It's just a bunch of extras dressed up as EMTs in this shot, and one's like walking kind of with a purpose, and you hear this ADR just go, "Yeah, we got one guy in a tunnel. He's going to be all right." And I was
no!
Just let Dennis Miller be dead.
We need him for the sequel.
It's not going to be, you know, Murder at 1601 Pennsylvania.
It might be.
No.
He bled out. Come on now. It's been like an hour.
I mean, that dude, you know, Cash Starbuck or whatever that guy's name was.
Well, Wesley, I sent you this tape. If you ever found yourself in a sequel to a suspense thriller, there are certain rules you have to follow.
No,
Murder at 1600, colon, the second term.
Yes!
Oh, wow. Yeah. Fuck, dude. Yeah, and now Wesley Snipes is on Ronnie Cox's Secret Service detail.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's leading it.
He's proved himself.
Or no, maybe he's vice president. The vice president has to go down for this, so maybe. Oh, why, yeah, what the fuck, why not? Oh,
yeah, actually, that's true. That dude's finished. Yeah, let's just bring in this other guy.
Mike, you're done.
So, yeah, Dennis Miller's alive, but you don't see him ever again. And then it's like we get some buddy-buddy here between Snipes and Cox. And it's one of those, like, listen, I'm the president. Whatever you want, like, I'll do it. And he's like, do you know the head of the Interstate Commerce Commission? You're like, oh, yeah, that apartment building or whatever.
Do
the
you
fuck.
Know about this thing nobody cares about? Because I would like to close this screenplay the old-fashioned way.
It's like, you know, well, Wesley Snipes, I think this is the start of a beautiful friendship.
Sure.
And then, you know, here's something that's kind of surprising to me about this movie, and it's through the whole thing. There's not one bit of, like, bad, like, fart thriller rock of any kind here.
It's all just strings. It's a bunch of, like...
Well, don't they...
Don't try to class this shit up just because it takes place at the White House.
Isn't there some Grisham pianos? Like...
Yes. That's most of it, I think.
Yeah, Grisham is great at the piano. He's great, great in front of a typewriter, great at the piano.
But I don't even think Wesley Snipes gets any like parting words with Diane Lane, though.
No.
There's no like, you know, thanks for, you know, this great adventure we had.
I mean, it's not like they're attracted to one another. Yeah, they like couldn't that. Be. Come on, I mean, like, please.
That would be against the law.
I feel like that was the deleted thing. Like, it's this whole thing about, like, do you know this person at the Interstate Commerce Commission, Mr. President? Blah, blah, blah. But then it's like... Cut to outside the White House. She's got like a post-emergency poncho on that
absolutely.
They always give you.
A blanket.
You know.
No,
or
she,
a blanket.
She died. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, we're 6 years out from Jungle Fever. Like, really?
Yeah, you could have done it.
We're all right there.
Well, no, that makes it a different kind of movie. And it's not, we want a movie that can open big, all right?
Right, yeah, we got to open all over America.
This isn't an art house movie where,
This isn't a presidential thriller for the coastal elites only, okay? whatever. Yeah, I guess she'll be fine, too. She was just shot in the shoulder. Yeah. There's actually no... Because he comes up and he's like, oh, you took a bullet from me or something like that. And she needs to have a line like, just doing my job, Mr. President.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing. She's just like, I did it.
It'd be great if he's like, holy shit, aren't you that lady that won the gold medal for skeet shooting like 10 years ago?
Oh my God, my favorite sharpshooter saved my life.
Wow. Can I get, when you're better, can I get your autograph?
Didn't you and Faye Dunaway take down Reagan?
I wish.
Yeah, seriously. Would anybody recommend Murder at 1600?
It's a classic hangover movie for me. Like, it's slow, but it's not too boring. Wesley's good in it. You know, I think it's pretty good. It's okay. It's not good, but it's not bad.
Exactly. It's a hangover movie because you do not have to pay attention to any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Once you know what the conceit is, you can drop in any scene and you know what's going on.
Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. I felt like it was kind of dull.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, you got the Grisham piano. I think political thrillers like this, it's hard for me to get into. It's
I will
just not
say,
my bag, babe.
I will say Absolute Power is a much better movie.
Also, stay tuned.
Yeah, Absolute Power is the better version of this movie. I don't think I'd recommend this either. And here's why I think it's a dangerous hangover movie, dude. All right, let me set the scene.
Uh-huh.
you were out till like 5 a.m.,
uh-huh.
right? You come home, you wake up the next morning, you're like fucking puking bile. It's already like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This day is done. You sit down, you're like, all right, here's this huge glass of water. I have like the huge thing of Tylenol that's just going to sit here with me. Let me turn on the TV
here.
You're just watching it. And everything in this moment is just like you're fucking dancing on a high wire, you know. Philippe Petit just dancing on this wire, dude, between being kind of hungover and certain doom.
Uh-huh.
Right? And then Dennis Miller creeps onto your TV. And just all the bile is just flying out of your body.
I guess that should be a little note, is that if you have a nuclear hangover, absolutely do not watch
it. If this is a five-starer, do not put on Murder at 1600.
If you were home by 1:30 a.m., you probably could deal this.
Yeah,
5
like one IPA too many, you're like, oh, fuck, now I'm hungover.
So, by the way, on the Snipesgiving table, I would say this is mashed potatoes for me.
Yes, okay. Yes. I agree with that. Just
without gravy.
Like, no gravy, no fucking sweet garlic you put in there.
It's just white fluff.
I think Alan Alda is the gravy, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that is true. That is true.
I have been known to flavor a conversation.
Aren't I delightful?
That's Murder at 1600, directed by Dwight Little. If you want more WHM, check out WHM Podcast or find us over at HeadGum. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, of course. We are at WHM Podcast. And write into that mailbag. WeAllHateMovies@gmail.com. Rate and review the show wherever you get us. We'd greatly appreciate that. And
support
then,
the Patreon.
Yeah, sure. There you go. Patreon.com/WeHateMovies. Bonus shows, bonus commentaries, all sorts of bonus shit for you on there. And a subscription to the Big Daddy Dispatch as well, our monthly newsletter detailing the ins and outs of everything WHM.
We pitched some fun sequels this time around. So this is good.
That's
and
right.
You can get the schedule a month in advance, see what we're going to do. You could have done a Wesley Snipes movie marathon to prepare for this. Yes. Yeah.
Or you could have seen which Wesley Snipes movies we're not doing and complained about it. Also.
which is fine. And they will, you know, again, there's every year there's a Snipes giving. It might not be a theme month again.
Right. Yeah, sure.
But Wesley Snipes will come back around.
Like, let me tell you, like Passenger 57 will be an episode before this show's closes down.
Yes.
It will happen.
August, I mean, I think.
Next week we have Drop Zone. That's the turkey, I feel.
Oh, it's got, but, yeah, it's the
but
turkey.
But, you know, some families like ham. That's U.S. Marshals. We'll have that some other day.
Yeah, I feel like maybe for Easter, we'll have U.S. Marshals.
Yeah, a franchise that didn't know it was a franchise rising from the grave.
Yeah, so yes, it is Drop Zone next week with the one and only Gary Busey.
Oh, God, just get ready for Drop Zone, everybody. Just put everything down right now and watch Drop Zone. It's going to be great.
It's going to be a 3-hour episode. Like, so this takes a lot.
Until next week, where we go skydiving, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.